Welcome to Breaking Through with me, Kristen Rau Finkbeiner, powered by Moms Rising. On the radio show this week, we covered the Care Economy Week of Action in the House, the U.S. House of Representatives. We also cover how you can make a difference from your house to help build a care economy and a care infrastructure, including, importantly, childcare, paid leave, home and community-based care and services for people who are disabled and the aging, raising the minimum wage, making sure we have a permanent child tax credit, healthcare for everyone, a path to citizenship for all essential and care workers, dreamers, and temporary protected status holders and their families, as well as investing in communities, reimagining safety, and divesting from punishment and policing, and importantly, creating a fair tax code to help pay for all these vital investments. It is time, people, because care can't wait. We're going to jump right in with our first guest. We are joined right now by a wonderful, spectacular, nation-lifting and nation-changing guest, U.S. Representative Veronica Escobar. She is here with us to share what's happening in Congress around the Care Economy Week of Action. Welcome.
Hi, Kristen. It's so wonderful to be with you. Thank you for that fantastic introduction.
Well, I'm so thrilled that you're here because what a lot of people don't realize is that there are true superheroes, true champions, true amazing leaders in Congress, and you are one of them. What are you seeing happening in Congress for good to lift families, to lift our economy, to lift our country, and to build the care infrastructure that we need?
I am so fortunate to work with some incredible colleagues. There is a lot of great work happening in Congress right now. And much of it, of course, is being directed by a brand new administration that sees the value in the care economy, sees the value in creating equity and opportunities for everyone. But a lot of it is happening also through the work that we're doing on the Democratic Women's Caucus. We have an historic number of women in Congress. Not enough yet, but we're getting there. And the women that I have the privilege to work with, especially in the leadership of the DWC, they are true sheroes. They are warriors. They are women who are out to make sure that we elevate women and we create opportunities. Because when women succeed, when families succeed, the country succeeds. And when women get locked out of the economy, when women get locked out of opportunities, we all suffer. So it's advantageous to all of us that we realize women's issues are economic development issues, and they are American issues. So we are working on things like making sure that we have universal health care, that we have universal child care, that as we're building back better, that we're elevating those who have been locked out for too long. And among those groups are women. We're looking for pay equity. We are really pushing the envelope on making sure that we achieve equity because it's long past time.
Long past time. And I'm really excited. We're also finally starting to build a care infrastructure. And there's more people waking up, looking at the numbers and realizing that just like we need to build bridges and roads to get to work, we need to build a care infrastructure so parents and primary caregivers can actually go to work, so kids can thrive, and so care workers earn living wages, and we're creating good care jobs. It's both job enabling people to work, and job creating good care jobs. And to do that, we need childcare, we need paid family leave, we need healthcare, like you said, we need living wages, we need a $15 an hour minimum wage. And I'm so thrilled that you and your colleagues have been leading the way on building back better, literally building back better. So what is your favorite policy? If you asked me what was my favorite policy of all those, I wouldn't be able to answer. I would have to say I love them all equally because they all need to go together. So if you had to pick a favorite policy, which would you pick?
You know, there are so many outstanding policies, and really in many ways, they all are intertwined, and we need each and every one of them in order to truly elevate women and families in our country. But if I had to pick one, it's like picking a favorite pet, a favorite fur baby, which I would never do. But if I had to pick one, I would tell you that childcare is pretty critical. One of the things that I have been hearing both through the pandemic as well as post-pandemic, is the incredible struggle of families as they try to access childcare. And the care economy is obviously broader and wider than simply childcare, but this is part of why so many working moms have been locked out of going back into the workforce. We are seeing, unfortunately, unless we do something about childcare, we are seeing the erosion of a generation of progress for women in the workplace. And we know that women still haven't achieved parity in the workplace. We know that women are still paid less in the workplace than men. And it's even worse for Black women, even far worse for Latinas, like those in my community. And so if we are going to avoid that erosion of progress for women, and really it will ultimately be an erosion for our economy as well, we've got to address the childcare situation. We've got to make sure that we are paying good wages to the professionals caring for our kids. This is our future. We need to make sure that those who are in charge of caring for our kids, especially tender age children, that they are provided the training they need and the salaries that they need so that they can do the best job possible for kids in those very vulnerable years. We need to invest in care that provides, especially for kids with special needs. I will tell you, that is one area where we have really fallen down egregiously in our country. And even for moms who aren't necessarily in the traditional workforce, we need care for them as well. We know that a healthy mom will create a healthy household and a healthy family. And part of that is making sure that a mom, even one who works from home, or maybe even especially one who works from home, has access to that child care. So there are significant investments. And thankfully, the Biden administration is seeking hundreds of millions of dollars in those investments, billions rather, about $700 billion to build a system that actually works for American families, but especially for American women, because we know women are the primary caregivers for our kids. So, you know, I do think, Kristen, that again, although every facet of the care economy is important, as we hear companies and businesses say they need workers, let's get those workers the childcare they need.
So important. We saw the data, and 32% of all women who had to leave the labor force, and a million more women left the labor force than men during the pandemic, but a full 32% of all women who had to leave the labor force, who were pushed out of the labor force, were pushed out specifically due to lack of access to childcare. It is awful. And I want to share with people, those are much needed jobs. We have moms as the primary breadwinner in 40% of families, and in the majority of families, moms are now a key breadwinner. So those are hugely important jobs. And I want to lift up another point that I know you were lifting up too, but that's that the data is in, and the pandemic had an outsized impact, not only on women and moms, but women and moms of color experience compounded economic and health harms. So when we're making investments in the childcare infrastructure, when we're making childcare affordable for everyone, that's also part of combating systemic inequalities and helping to ensure that all families can thrive. It's really important in a number of ways that people often don't think about, in the ways that we have racial justice, gender justice, and economic justice intertwined. And that lifts our economy. And I was really excited to see Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell recently in congressional testimony lift that our lack of a care infrastructure, our lack of access to childcare in the United States of America is costing us. It's costing us $64 billion with a B a year in funding, and it's also hurting our world competitiveness. So because we're, you know, kind of out of step with other industrialized nations who have a better care infrastructure than we do. So we are seeing a lot more people realize that passing policies like childcare is a win-win-win-win-win on a number of levels, as is building a care infrastructure. Have you seen a change, like a sea change, in the way people are thinking about the care infrastructure as the pandemic has been here with us for this past 15 months?
I really have. That's a great question. You know, I've seen more and more of journalists reporting on issues, and it began with, as you point out, a linkage to COVID. All of the gaps in care that existed during COVID, and we saw the disproportionate impact on communities of color, economically disadvantaged communities, in every facet of our lives. And so you saw essential workers who had to, frequently minimum wage workers, people who worked in grocery stores and people who worked in housekeeping at hospitals, who had to go to work. But they were afraid to go to work because they were afraid of getting sick because they didn't have access to paid leave, and they didn't have access to childcare as well because childcare centers closed down. So you saw journalists really kind of doing deep dives on what was happening to American families during the pandemic. And my hope is that acknowledgement of the divide that exists in our country is something that we can very quickly act on, because we know that people have short memories. And so this is part of the urgency with acting post-pandemic to address all of those injustices that we saw unveiled during the COVID pandemic. And I mentioned paid family leave is another example of what we in the Democratic Women's Caucus have been pushing. And this too disproportionately impacts women, the lack of access to paid family leave. Frequently, women are the caregivers who stay home when a parent or a child or a spouse is sick. And a lot of women don't have the luxury of having employers or employment that honors that and will allow people to keep their jobs while they care for their loved one. We instituted that during one of our COVID packages, and it is something that was long overdue. Also, with one of our COVID packages, we expanded the child tax credit. That is huge. That will help us address childhood poverty. That will help lift families out of crushing generational poverty that basically creates a cycle generation after generation. So we're hoping to break those cycles. We're hoping that we can continue to push that agenda, and we're hoping to do it urgently and now, because it is still fresh on Americans' minds.
So everybody, we need you to call your U.S. senators and tell them to pass the CARE infrastructure now. We need the Biden-Harris American Families and Jobs plans put into law, and it needs to have a CARE infrastructure. We only have a second left with you. Do you have advice for people when they make those calls to their U.S. representatives and senators?
Yes, absolutely. You know, frequently folks get urged to call senators outside or members of Congress outside of their home state or outside of their district. No, you gotta call your own, because senators will listen to their own constituents, because their own constituents are their voters. And I think personal stories are really powerful. If you have been impacted by lack of access to childcare, or if you've experienced benefits from some of the early investments that we've made, like the expanded child tax credit, which we're going to start seeing come online very quickly as soon as you file your income tax. Tell those stories, be personal, be honest, be real, but also be persistent.
Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you. It was such a pleasure, and really appreciate you amplifying these very important issues.
We're going to take a quick break, but stick around. We'll be right back with our next guest, Congresswoman Sylvia Garcia. We'll be back in just a quick flash. We're going to fight for love. Fight for love. Fight for love. Fight for love. We're going to fight. Welcome back to Breaking Through with me, Kristen Rauffingfeiner, powered by Moms Rising. We are joined right now by a spectacular, amazing, wonderful Congresswoman, Sylvia Garcia. Welcome.
Thanks. Well, thank you for having me. I hope y'all are having a great week.
I hope so too. There's so much going on right now. And there's so much going on in Congress. This week is the CARE Economy Week of Action, where members of Congress, the Democratic Women's Caucus, are lifting up the importance of building a care economy to build back better and lift our entire country. What's going on for you this week with the CARE Economy Week of Action?
Well, you know, we've been really focused on that, and especially the child tax credit. You know, it's just amazing to me the number of dollars that we can get for families who file their taxes and claim their children. When you think about it, I mean, $300 per month for children over the age of six, $250 for children under the age of $250 for children under the age of six. There's no limit for the number of children that you can claim. I mean, and the checks will be coming in beginning July through December. That will lift a lot of children out of poverty. And in my district, that's 213,000 kids are eligible for this tax credit. So that's a huge game changer.
It's a huge game changer. So listeners, if you were doing the math, right now, you can get a child tax credit that is $3,600 per year for young children age 0 to 5 and $3,000 per year for older child age 6 to 18. How do you get it? You will automatically get it if you filed your taxes, or this is the exciting part. If you're a non-tax filer normally, the IRS is going to be opening up a non-filer portal in the month of July. So stick around, check into the IRS website. Normally the IRS website is not a glamorous website, but this year it is a glamorous website, people. Stick around, look into the IRS website and see if you don't normally file your taxes because you're not earning any income or because you're earning very low income and don't normally file taxes. You can do it this year and through the new non-filer portal that's coming up. This child tax credit, which was brought to you by the Democratic leadership in the House and the Senate, and also the Oval Office, is set to lift 50% of children out of poverty. Again, 50% of children out of poverty this year. This is huge. And we're fighting to make this child tax credit not just this year, but every year. And that's actually an expansion of the expansion is in the Biden-Harris administration's American Families and Jobs plans that they're putting out and is about to be sort of set into law. And we're in this moment where we're sort of on the edge of a whole bunch of big policies being set into law. And Congresswoman, what's that feel like, this moment?
Well, you know, as I mentioned to you, this is huge. I mean, for my district, that's 95% of the children could be lifted out of poverty. And I want to add another little note. If you have a temporary work number and a I-10 number, you can also apply. There's some programs that I-10 filers can't do, but this is one that you can. As long as the child was born in the U.S. and there is one parent that has either a Social Security number or an I-10 number to file for the credit, they can apply. I know we've had that question in the mixed status families households. And you're absolutely right. We're trying to get an extension and it'll be, if it works, then it'll kick in January, from January through June for a whole year. But we'd like to make it permanent. And why? Because children need help. Families need help. Daycare is a real challenge for many women right now in the workforce. 3 to 4 million women have left the workforce during this pandemic. They're caregivers. They're caring for their children and overseeing their children's virtual education. They're caring for their elderly parents or grandparents. They're caring for that special needs child or the special needs relative that needs some attention. So we need to make sure that the care infrastructure is built up to support that. If we truly want to get everybody back to work, we need childcare. If we really need to make sure that everybody goes back to work, we need more nursing home care. We need more assisted living centers to care for our elderly in a quality setting. And if we need to make sure that all children get the access to education that they need, we need to make sure that special needs children and special needs adults have the care that they need. So we're working hard to make sure that when people think about infrastructure, it's not just the old road and bridges. It's about care infrastructure. It's about broadband. It's about everything that we need to support our families and our workers so they can go back to work.
Agree with you fully. And I'm so glad you brought up broadband. There is right now, the Federal Communications Commission has actually support for people who need broadband. So you can go to the Federal Communications Commission's website and get $50 a month if you qualify for your broadband. So this is important. And I want to let everybody know about it. So when we're talking about the care infrastructure, when we're talking about building back better, we are on a deadline. What should people be doing right now to help make these policies pass as soon as possible?
Well, I just want to make a plug for Texas right now. Texas, because of the freeze that we suffered through earlier this year, we got an extension on our income tax returns through June 15th, which is next Tuesday. So if you're in Texas, you can still file for your tax credit by filing your taxes by Tuesday. How do we get this done, and how do we make sure that it's the program that we need to keep going to make sure we keep children out of poverty? You know, you need to contact your member of Congress and especially your senators, because a lot of these bills get passed in the House, but then we've got the Senate who resist them and we don't get there. So please send a letter, send an email, text your member, and especially your senators to make sure that they support this. Make sure that, just challenge them. If you want everybody to go back to work, then you gotta make sure that we have daycare and we have transportation so that workers can get to their jobs, and that they know that their children are being taken care of or their elderly parents are being taken care of, because otherwise then people will not be able to go back to work.
It's so true. I mean, we just saw a huge number of women be pushed out of the labor force because there wasn't access to childcare. And what a lot of people may not know is that before the pandemic, we were already in a crisis. Childcare costs more than college. That is ridiculous. And so now we have to build back better. We have to build a system that works for the American people and works for our economy. Because when it comes down to it, women and moms make the majority of purchasing decisions in our consumer-fueled economy. And when we don't have funds to spend, when we can't buy kids shoes when they grow out of their shoes, because kids grow really quickly, people, when we cannot be engaged in our economy, then the whole economy suffers. So this isn't just about building a care infrastructure for one group of people. This is about building a care infrastructure for everyone. And we all do better when we all do better. So it's time to build that care infrastructure. The numbers that we would save in terms of lost economic activity are huge. It's $65 billion a year in lost economic activity when we push moms out of the labor force because we don't have access to a childcare system. And I should say moms and dads. So this is a policy where it's not just the right thing to do in our hearts, it's the smart thing to do economically. All of these policies. I love that you lifted childcare, paid family leave, home and community-based services for people who are disabled and those who are aging, expanding permanently the child tax credit, making sure that we have a path to citizenship. Also, I think is really important. I want to add that for all care workers and people who are working in the United States of America right now. That's another area. And of course, living wages, a $15 minimum wage is necessary because we need to earn living wages when we are working. Would you have thoughts on any of those other policies that I put together into the care infrastructure, along with more? There's more that I've left out, but those are some key ones.
Well, I totally agree with you. And I think we just need to work really hard to convince them, because, you know, I get tired of this whole line that, well, no, people don't want to go back to work because they make more money off of unemployment. I have yet to have anybody really tell me that, you know. People who are at home because they can't go to work, it's a lot of single moms, head of household, that if they don't have a babysitter, they just can't go back to work. Who's going to take care of the kids? And that's why this child care tax credit is really, the tax credit for children is really important, because like you said, you've got to get them the clothes, you got to get them the medicines, you got to get the children, so many different things, that's where this money can go to. You know, people don't think, for example, broadband. You know, everybody said, oh no, they can just do it virtually from home. Well, if a child doesn't have a computer, if the child doesn't have Wi-Fi at home, if there's no real broadband in their area because they're in a rural community, well, then how in the heck are they going to be able to follow their classes virtually? So we got to make sure that we think through these proposals, and then we provide the funding, because nobody asked for this pandemic. No, this is not a vacation time for us. We still have to continue doing the work, and teachers have to continue doing their work. And the only way they can do that is if the children have the resources and the capacity to be able to do the virtual learning.
And that's so true. And the other thing that a lot of reporters aren't talking about yet is that we are in a pandemic summer crunch for older children. So childcare centers for younger children have started reopening 0 to age 5 and is extraordinarily expensive, as we just noted. But older children who still need supervision, who still need learning in the summer when the schools are closed, are really in a bind, because summer camps are opening and closing. Some are not opening that normally open, and they are extraordinarily expensive. So we don't have a stable summer structure in this pandemic time for parents to go back to work. It's really an impossible situation for too many families. So that's why the child tax credit is so critically important, not just now, but always. And it is a direct infusion into our economy. Again, our economy is based on our consumer spending, and it is women and moms who make the majority of those consumer spending decisions. So we're getting a high return on investment in terms of dollar per dollar, but also it's the right thing to do. I'm so thrilled that you're on and that you've been talking with me about this today, and that you're representing your district so extraordinarily well, and that you're lifting the entire nation. Thank you so much. Do you have any parting super fast advice in the last 30 seconds?
Well, I just want to make sure that we underscore that when we say, a care infrastructure, we need to make sure we leave no one behind, that it truly will be in all the communities, because I know I worry that, you know, a lot of these facilities may be built in what I consider the areas who might be able to afford the childcare, which means we got to make sure that it's going to be affordable and it can be in every neighborhood, that they're bilingual and bicultural, and that they can meet the special needs of some of our children. So we got to make sure that if it's going to happen, that it's inclusive and it's for everyone, and that no one will be left behind.
So true. Inclusive, universal, and everyone covered, 100%. So people, when you hear elected leaders talking about these policy areas, and more elected leaders are talking because this is polling really high with Democrats, Republicans, everyone, make sure you ask them about the details. Are you going to cover everyone? Is this going to be inclusive, and is it permanent? And thank you so much for raising those issues. Thank you so much for your leadership, Congresswoman
Julian
Garcia. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Don't go away. Next up, we have a spectacular Congresswoman, Brenda Lawrence, coming to talk with you. We'll be back in just a brief moment. We're gonna fight for love. Breaking Through with me, Kristen Rao Finkbeiner, powered by Moms Rising. I am so excited that we have a spectacular, wonderful, amazing guest for you, a powerful guest for you, Congresswoman Brenda Lawrence. Welcome, Congresswoman.
Thank you. Powerful women recognize powerful women, and I salute you for all the many roles that you have played. It's reading your resume, you're right. You have been a political director. You have been a CEO and a nonprofit leader, and you're amazing. And thank you for everything you do.
Well, thank you to you. Talk about leadership. You're in the U.S. Congress leading our entire nation forward. So I am just honored and thrilled to be talking with you. And speaking of leading our entire nation forward, we're at a time in our country, we're talking about care. We're talking about childcare, paid leave, home and community-based services. The child tax credit is no longer off in some other room over there, but is on the center stage. And we're talking about a care infrastructure, including with the Biden-Harris plans of the American Families and Jobs plans. And what's your take on, are we going to be able to make this happen?
You know, I tell people, because they'll ask me, how are you going to pay for it? Do you think this is going to happen? We're at a point in our country where it's not optional. We must provide affordable, accessible, and reliable child care. We keep talking about building, say we're going to build back better, which I totally support. We need to invest in our infrastructure, but we have a public infrastructure that has been ignored and neglected for years. So here we are, and we're asking for $600 billion to assist our country in providing childcare. So when we talk about building back better, how are we going to restart this community and our economy if we don't have women returning to work? Women cannot return to work unless they have childcare. And if you would allow me to just talk about the childcare deserts that exist, and we have lost 1 in 7 childcare jobs since this pandemic started. And 1 in 4 childcare providers have closed. So yes, we are talking about the family. And when people talk about childcare, they immediately start talking about women. Well, guess what? When I have town halls and meet with my constituents, they tell me, a man say, Congresswoman, I pay more for childcare than I do the mortgage on my home. And another man told me, he said, I will not have a vacation this year because I've had to take off from work and juggle it with my wife and caring for our children. So we're in America. We must get it done.
We must get it done. And a lot of people don't realize how critically important childcare is as a basic part of our infrastructure. And what's really important is if we look at both childcare and home and community-based services for people who are disabled and those who are aging, those are some of the biggest areas of expected job growth in yes. the coming decades. And so we have a sort of win-win. We can make sure that we create good care jobs. And that's a lot of good care jobs, and that'll help our economy. And then we can also enable parents and caregivers, moms and dads, and people who are taking care of kids to work by pushing forward good childcare and home and community-based services policies. And those are all in the Biden-Harris plans that have been coming out.
Yes. So
I'm thrilled that it's in the plans. And moms are getting ready.
Yes.
Rise up in bigger ways. We're going to have, in late June and July, we're going to have postcard writing parties to the U.S. senators, and we're going to have building blocks and construction hats to help construct and build back an America that works for all of us. And we're going to have people doing postcard writing parties in parks and, you know, all kinds of fun things, because people realize how critical this policy is. What kind of traction are you seeing with this policy? And more importantly, do you have advice for people who are listening who are saying, yes, please, we need this policy yesterday? What should they do to help make it happen?
I really celebrate you writing to our senators. Sometimes, and I'm really being confronted with this, they seem to lose their way. When you poll the American public, they want investment in our social infrastructure. They want funding for care. And you mentioned it's the elder care, it's a special need, and it's child care. And what do we see that's happening? I would love for moms to lend their voices and support to having an affordable living wage for these jobs. We have seen that we'll just snatch someone off the street. You like kids, here, go be a caregiver. But we know that there are special skills that are needed. And we want quality care. It's not just about someone being there when I drop my kid off. I want them trained and professional that they can take care of our children. So affordable living wages for the caregivers and certification of skills so that we can lift this industry up. And we have seen so many women, because it's predominantly a female and women workforce that are caregivers. We have seen this ignoring and just, you know, no expectation of whether they make a living wage or not. And we know we have single moms who work two jobs, one to pay for childcare, one to put food and shelter for their children. This is unacceptable. The working poor, and they go to work every day to take care of our most vulnerable, our children, our special need, and our elders. We need to respect the work that they do.
So true. A lot of listeners might not know this, but childcare workers are some of the lowest paid workers in the United States of America. And it is really a problem because we have a situation where childcare industry as a whole isn't actually industry or system yet. It's a patchwork disaster, but we have parents cannot pay any more on one side of the coin. And then we have on the other side of the coin, we cannot pay childcare workers any less. What that means is we need a public investment, and we need a public investment of at least $700 billion because this system is essential for the whole economy to work. And when we're looking at that public investment, making sure there's a career and wage ladder for childcare workers, making sure that every child has high quality childcare, high quality early education, all of that is possible. And the beautiful thing is when you do the math, the return on investment is huge. For every $1 in to the childcare system, creating a childcare system, we get at least $7 out later, and we get almost $20 out later for children who are in high risk experiences. So it is not just the right thing to do, it's the economically smart thing to do to invest in childcare and to invest in childcare workers. And while we're at it, we need at least the $15 minimum wage, and we need to get rid of the tipped minimum wage. Needs to be done, ended. $2.13 an hour, people, for the tipped minimum wage is ridiculous and horrifying. So just had to put that out there because that needs to go away. But what are your thoughts?
I really want everyone to recognize that this pandemic had the most drastic effect on women. Women have left the workforce at an alarming rate. And we know that this pandemic has created a she-demic because we have had so many women in multiple, because when we start talking about our frontline workers, who's the frontline of caregivers, nurses, caregivers, the grocery store, the women who are taking care of our children? We know that women have been hit the hardest, and we are going to have to step up as a country. Because you know that we are the worst of any large developed country when it comes to giving childcare. Japan, I travel back and forth there often. And I remember years ago, the Japanese were saying, wait a minute, what's happening here? The women were leaving the workforce in their 30s and 40s. Well, they had to go home to have babies and there was no childcare. So now when you go to Japan, almost every major corporation has a childcare center right in the building that you work. And you have these young professionals walking around with our little babies as a career position because it's an honored profession. And that is a transformation we need to have in America. And you know, the Nordic countries and others will see the lack of leadership in the government recognizing the value and the importance of building an economy with having a strong and sustainable healthcare system.
Yeah, it's so true. And it all adds up because what we're seeing is also intense wage and hiring discrimination against moms in particular, with moms of color experiencing the most extreme wage discrimination due to systemic racism. Latina moms are earning as low as 46 cents to a white dad's dollar, and Black moms are earning as low as 54 cents to a white dad's dollar. It's awful. But one solution is studies show that when we pass policies like access to childcare, to paid family leave, health care, and of course, we need policies like the Paycheck Fairness Act, all combined together, really help narrow those wage gaps and help us bring forward gender justice, racial justice, and economic justice. Because the flip side of this situation is we're seeing that due to the pandemic, the cracks in our systems that were there before the pandemic have become outright catastrophes. And we've seen increased numbers of women of color in particular be pushed out of the labor force. And overall, we've seen us go backwards 30 years in terms of women's labor force participation, which is pushing us back 30 years in gender justice and racial justice. Mm-hmm. And so all of it is intertwined when we look at what investments we need to make to combat systemic inequalities and really help ensure that all families can thrive. I wish there was a single solution. I totally wish there was. But the beautiful thing is that it isn't rocket science. As you mentioned, other countries have addressed these crises. Other countries have passed paid family medical leave, 177 of them, by the way. Other countries have passed childcare and health care and, you know, fair pay policy. We can do it too. You know, we can walk and chew gum and pat ourselves on the head because we are, you know, awesome humans. And so thankful for you and your leadership doing that very thing, passing multiple things at the same time. Do you think there's hope passing multiple things at the same time?
I remain hopeful. It's not going to be easy. You know, every time we take one step forward, we confront another obstacle, but we have so many things. Thank goodness for President Biden, for his leadership and his vision and inclusive policies. So I'm hopeful. It is not going to be easy. I need all the moms to lock arms, and we are going to not be silent until this country start moving in the right direction. I want you to know that I'm excited that we passed the Pregnancy Act, where who knew in America we had no federal policy for accommodation of a pregnant woman. Who would have, if I told you that, you said that can't be true. But we just recently passed it, and we're trying to get it through Senate now. But we do have some glimmers of hope. And so I'm hoping that as we'll move forward. When I went to Congress, I heard people say it was like making sausage. I had no idea it was truly a grind, but I'm staying there. I'm thankful that I can be there to be a voice for you and all the moms, and keep in touch with me. And I promise you to keep fighting.
Oh, I'm so thrilled that you're fighting. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for fighting for us and everybody who's listening. Before we let you go, we want to just urge you again, your voices, your stories, your calls to Congress have helped bring us to this moment where we have a care infrastructure on the table. Now's the time to pump up the volume and double down. Make a commitment to call your U.S. senators twice a week. Call both of them twice a week and say, build the care infrastructure now. It's time to double down. It's like seeing the finish line, but we have to do that ending sprint, people. So don't feel like you're bothering members of Congress. That's your job.
As a citizen of this country, it is our job to connect with our elected officials. And I want you to know the power of that, because before I go vote for a bill, I will check how many calls did I get? What are they saying? And it does have an impact. And I will say, don't only just call your senator, because I have two amazing senators. I don't waste my time preaching to the choir. I call the other offices as well and tell them, I encourage you all, call them and say, this is why we need to have this childcare. And tell them, you know, your daughters and the women today, and if they're young enough to have children, they must understand the impact childcare has on their quality of life. So thank you all for whatever you do. Keep doing it. And as I said, we're locking arms. Moms are rising.
Let's rise together, people. Let's keep rising. Thank you for rising, too. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Congresswoman Suzanne Bonamici. Don't go away. We'll be back in a quick flash. We're gonna fight for love.
Fight for love.
Welcome back to Breaking Through with me, Kristen Rao Finkbeiner, powered by Moms Rising. We are joined right now by another wonderful, amazing, spectacular, powerful, nation-lifting guest, Congresswoman Suzanne Bonamici. Welcome.
Thank you, Kristen. I'm so glad to be with you.
I'm so glad you're here because we are talking about the week of the care economy in the House. And by the House, we mean the U.S. House of Representatives. We mean your House, listeners.
Yes.
What you're doing in your House, too, and what's going on in the U.S. House this week with you.
Well, I'll tell you, this is a week where we are really going to be focused on childcare. And I have been working on this issue. You know, I'm a mom, and even though my kids are grown, I remember what it was like to try to find childcare. And I know from talking with moms, even before the pandemic, and I say moms because it's primarily moms who have the caregiving responsibility, and this is Moms Rising. So I have been speaking with moms who have been challenged with childcare even before the pandemic, and the pandemic just exacerbated the challenges for them. In fact, here in Oregon, all 36 of our counties were childcare deserts, meaning one spot for every three kids. So we want to highlight this issue now as we are beginning to see the light at the end of the tunnel. We are not going to have an economic recovery unless we solve the childcare crisis. It's too expensive for families when they can find it, if they can find it. And then importantly, the wonderful care providers in childcare who are doing this really important work of taking care of our children, they don't get paid oftentimes enough to even get childcare for their own kids. So we need to invest in this. It's a great investment. And I'll tell you, the stories I have heard from moms really make clear that we have to solve this problem. And it's important for our children, our families, our communities, and our economy.
Yeah, and our businesses too. I mean, a lot Absolutely. Of people don't realize that in order for parents and caregivers to be able to go to work, and for businesses to thrive, we need a childcare infrastructure. And we don't have one yet. We have a crisis of affordability, of quality, and of access. I'm so thankful that you brought up the issue of childcare desert. So in many places, even if you could afford a lot of childcare expenses, there aren't any slots available for you to have childcare. And then in other places, it's extraordinarily expensive. And then in some other places, it isn't high enough quality. So we need a revolution of childcare because Absolutely. We also need to make sure childcare workers are not the lowest paid workers in the United States of America. And we've got it. We need big changes. Now, where is there hope for this big change? Where are you seeing the hope?
Well, thank you, Kristen. And there is hope. We've been highlighting this, you know, telling the stories like the mom I met, a single mom, three kids. She had to stop working. She worked as a home care provider during COVID-19. Even before the pandemic, she was on a wait list for a year and a half because there were no childcare providers in her community. And so she can't work. So yes, we absolutely need to solve this problem in its many forms and making sure that it's affordable, that it's quality, and that the people who are doing this important work are paid well. So I'm really excited because in the American Rescue Plan, which we passed and President Biden signed into law, has an investment to begin supporting childcare, and we're continuing to push for more. There's many different pieces of legislation. I just introduced a bipartisan one called the Child Care Act that will get about $5 billion into childcare by ending the three martini lunch deduction, which isn't helping working families one single bit, kind of got tucked into a big bill. So this will end that and use the money for child care development block grants. So there's a lot of proposals. We have to start looking at child care as infrastructure, because as you mentioned, this is so important for our families and our economy. And we're just not going to have our economy thrive until people have safe, quality places for their kids to be.
Absolutely. And what's really important is that these jobs that women and particularly moms are being pushed out of are much needed jobs.
Absolutely.
This isn't sort of like, oh, I'm working for fun. These are jobs that support families. 40% of families have a mom as the primary breadwinner, and 3/4 of families have a mom who is a key breadwinner. So this is a big deal, not to mention the fact that childcare workers, many of them are moms and are people Correct. And need living wages. So
right. And oftentimes women of color. Absolutely, it's going to be a win-win. I launched a child care advisory board. This is an issue I care about so much. I launched an advisory board after hearing from parents and educators and all these people involved in child care, the wonderful child care providers. And these board members, we've met several times, they're bringing me firsthand experience to the table, and their advice has really been helpful. And I've used their advice to introduce the Child Care's Infrastructure Act. And, we're relaunching this whole, when we started the new Congress, of course, and continuing to work with them and listen to their stories. I do want to mention an example that we're looking at very closely that's getting ready to launch. And that is the Multnomah County, which is the county that includes Portland, Oregon, the Preschool for All measure that was passed at the county level. And this measure will give free, high quality, developmentally appropriate, culturally responsive preschool experiences to all 3 and 4 year olds in Multnomah County. So we're watching this very closely. The voters passed this handily in Multnomah County, and we're going to watch this and see how it goes, because it is very similar to some of the proposals we know, for example, coming from the Biden administration. I am so excited that the administration as well, not just some members of Congress, but our administration understands the importance of this. President Biden's included $25 billion to upgrade childcare facilities in the American Jobs Plan, which we're talking about, and the American Rescue Plan that I mentioned we passed had the $39 billion to help stabilize the childcare system during the pandemic. But we have more work to do. We need to get this over the finish line. Through the House and the Senate, I just recently heard from a couple of moms who are both struggling to get childcare while they're working full time. And I just keep hearing these stories, and what will families do if they can't have a safe place for their child? We know they won't be able to get back to work.
They will not be able to get back to work. And, the American Families Plan that the Biden-Harris administration pushed forward has about $700 billion to help build the child care infrastructure, which is fabulous, too. I wanted to lift that for our listeners. So we want the American Jobs Plan, the American Families Plan, and we want all the plans, people, because everything
all
is
the plans.
We were at a crisis before the pandemic began, and now that crisis has turned into catastrophe that having everybody vaccinated is not going to fix, because we've had decades of insufficient investment in our childcare system. And now it's on us to catch up with the rest of the industrialized nations and have an actual childcare system as opposed to a patchwork disaster for parents. What advice do you have for people? You are in Congress. You're on the receiving end of a lot of lobbying. I know we've got a lot of listeners who take a lot of action. What do you think is the most effective action that people can take to get these policies moving forward in Congress and to help be the wind under your wings of change?
Sure. Well, the most important thing people can do, Kristen, is to let their representative and their senators know why this is important and tell those stories. How is this affecting you and your family? Because when we talk about policy in the abstract, it's not the same as talking about policy and this is how this is going to affect a family. I just spoke with a mom who told me that she can't get to work. I had a meeting with university researchers. They can't do their research because they don't have childcare. So these stories help get the message across to your representative in the U.S. House and to your senators that this is important to you. There are many different pieces of legislation pending, the Child Care for Working Families Act, universal child care, and then, of course, the American Families Plan and the American Jobs Plan. All of these are important. I'm supporting and pushing for as much as I can to get over the finish line because we need these enacted. We need to make this investment in our families. And as it turns out, it's actually a really good investment. When our kids get off to a good start in life, we know that they're going to do better when they get to the K-12 system. They're going to do better in school. We're going to spend less on safety net programs, probably less in the criminal justice juvenile justice systems as well. So it's a good investment to get our kids off to a good start in life. And this is not something that can solve itself. And we've seen that because this existed even before the pandemic. Childcare is too expensive for most families, and the people who are doing the valuable, important work of taking our care of our children don't get paid enough. So you can't just raise the salaries of the people who are in doing the important work of childcare without investment, because we can't raise the tuition because it's already unaffordable. We must make this investment. It's not going to solve itself. And it's an investment that's important to our families and our economy. And as you said, our businesses. Businesses are struggling. There's a conversation going on right now about, you know, all these businesses that have openings. Parents can't go back to work if they don't have childcare. So let's get this solved and make these investments that are so good for our families and our economy and our kids.
It's so important. I want to just uplift something that I heard you starting to say that I think is really important, and that is that the pandemic had had a disproportionately negative impact on women and moms of color due to structural racism and inequalities. Yes. And I wanted to give you a chance to say more about what you were thinking.
Yes, what I'm thinking, and to think about how the pandemic has affected different communities in different ways. We have not all experienced it in the same way. I know here in Oregon, our Latinx community, our BIPOC community, people of color have oftentimes had a harder time getting vaccinations. They're often in those frontline jobs. And we know that with caregivers and with especially with childcare workers across the country, predominantly women, women of color. So we know that that there has been a disproportionate impact of COVID on these communities. And when we build back, we're not just going to build back, we're going to build back better, as President Biden says, because we've learned during this pandemic that the pandemic didn't create these inequities, it highlighted them and exacerbated them. So now we really have a good, clear picture of how important childcare is for our families. One parent said to me, for any working family, childcare is one of our basic needs. And if childcare crumbles, if it gets even a fraction more difficult to find, then our collective ability to work crumbles too. It's so true. And, you know, there are enough challenges in this world to not have to worry and be afraid of where will my child get care? So I can go to work to support the family. So this is, again, something that should have support by all members of Congress, because it's so important to our communities and to our families, not just the care itself, but the infrastructure. We want to make sure that our facilities are good and safe and accessible. And we need to distribute these resources in a way that focuses on those equities and making sure we reach communities of color. There's a Black woman who's been participating on my advisory board who said it's really important for students to have culturally appropriate care as well. We need to make sure we are incentivizing people to go into this really important field of caregiving and caring for our children. And, you know, a lot of these licensed facilities require a college degree. So these care providers are often struggling with student debt, which is another thing on our list.
Yes.
Of problems to solve. And it's one that, as a member of the education committee, I'm focused on.
We only have 1 minute left, but I need to ask you a final question that I know all of our listeners want to hear about when we have members of Congress on, which is, does it make a difference when they call, when they sign a letter, when they reach out to your members of Congress that are representing them? Does that make a difference?
Absolutely, it makes a difference. And it's important too to let your member of Congress know. Sometimes people say to me, oh, I think we need to invest in childcare, but I know you already support that, so I don't need to tell you that. No, we need to hear from everyone. If we don't hear from people who support what we're doing, we're only hearing from people who don't support what we're doing.
Thank you so much for all you do. Thank you for being on with us today. And thank you, thank you, thank you.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Well, that's it for our show today. Thanks so much for tuning in as we tackle the top topics facing our nation in a way that requires the most boring disclaimer in the history of the planet Earth. Here goes. Views expressed on this show are those of the individual speakers and should not be attributed to Moms Rising, to this station, or to any news or social media service that may disseminate a recording of this show to the public or to any segment of the public. Boom! We'll catch you next week.